Augustine, WATY Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump wants the Justice Department to find out who wrote the blistering anonymous New York Times opinion piece. He's also suggesting it may not be a conservative or a Republican, but could be a member of the so-called deep state. Meanwhile, the president says Attorney General Jeff Sessions should investigate the New York Times piece. He says in an interview today with reporters on Air Force One, he believes the piece critical of his leadership is a national security issue. Former President Obama has urged an audience of college students to not just vote in the midterm elections, but to lead the battle against President Trump. The former president gave a speech in Urbana, Illinois. The Dallas police chief says it remains unclear whether there were any words exchanged or any other interaction between a police officer and her neighbor before she fatally shot him in his own home, apparently thinking it to be her apartment. This is SRN News.
Out for a crash on Bay Meadows Road heading west at the 295 Beltway. The left turn lane blocked there that will slow you down. Also a crash in the clearing stages on the west Beltway 295 northbound at the northbound ramp from the exit at Blanding Boulevard. And there's a disabled vehicle on the west Beltway 295 northbound before Normandy Boulevard. A chance of widely scattered showers and thunderstorms through this evening, low 75. Saturday, partly sunny, high 90.
Thank you for listening to WTRJ The Truth and the inspiring and informative programs we feature. We partner with ministries in this community, nationally, and even globally, to bring you the programs you hear. The program content is produced by these ministry partners and does not necessarily reflect the positions or views of other ministry partners, WTRJ The Truth owners, management, or employees in every instance. We trust that you're blessed by the programs you hear. And thanks for listening to WTRJ The Truth.
Welcome to the Inspiration 316 show hosted by John Beener, founder of Wise Counsel. John shares the inspiring and shocking miracles of how Jesus Christ is changing lives, families, organizations, and nations in this chaotic world. These are the true stories the media won't cover because they defy the shocking bad news they are selling. Stay tuned to be inspired.
Welcome. This is John Bean. You're listening to Inspiration 316. Again, enthused that you've joined us here. Again, we've got another great show. I personally do all the research to find all these stories. Now, we have about 225 stories that we've used so far in the first 5 months of our show. But what we've done is half of those are ones that I've done interviews with people, and the other half we find through the internet or through friends. Again, people, you could even volunteer your testimony. Again, Inspiration 316 is the show. We're about the good news of Jesus Christ, how he influences people, changes lives, takes ugly things, turns them into good. So all the things about who shot who and who murdered who or who bombed who that you hear in the regular news media, God can turn around or use them for good, because God is the spirit of love, truth, and light, and he will do that. He has a plan. I mean, if you look at all the countries that have come to freedom around the world, over half of them came because of a war. The other half came voluntarily because they saw the economic benefits of being in freedom. I wrote a book called The Freedom Revolution years ago, and it tells all that story. It's a freedom foundation that tracks all this stuff. But anyway, our name of our show today is Finding Your Security. And it's a great title, because what happens is, what I discovered years ago is they were all born with feelings of insecurity or inferiority. I actually learned that from a pastor named Steve Voss, and it makes perfect sense, because what happens is we are a three-part being. We're a body, soul, and spirit. And what happened when Adam and Eve left the garden, God pulled his spirit out of them. He says, I'm giving you free will. You can make a choice to come back to me, or you could go chase the world's way of success, which is really Satan's way, because he's the one driving evil and driving negative and garbage throughout the world. And so what happens is we naturally all have feelings of inferiority and insecurity. So dependent upon the love you had, dependent upon your family history, because the sins of the father and mother are passed down for generations. All this stuff comes into play, you know. And what happens is security is important to us. But what I've discovered in my latter years of learning through the School of Hard Knocks and in the Word and all the experiences I've had is that the only true security is in Jesus Christ. He's the only source of true security because, hey, folks, we're going to die, and hopefully we're going to get to heaven if we have committed to him, to serve him and honor him. You know, if we don't, you know, there's a very good chance he's not going to pull us out of hell and bring us into heaven, even though I've heard of that possibly happening in some cases. And some pastors would disagree with me. Oh, no, it doesn't line perfectly. Well, God can do whatever he wants to do, you know, and he's amazing. And anyway, finding your security, that's the theme of today's show. We've got Dr. David Levy here. He's a neurosurgeon. Diane Erickson, who was healed of cancer. Tony Nazarella is our sponsor with Murray Hill Theater. And then we've got Jared Powers, who went to prison for 6 years, shot a man. Henry Crowell, who founded Quaker Oats. Steve Jobs, obviously founded Apple. Short stories by them, and then finally Ian McCormick, who died in a hospital in a small island off of Africa. Movie Perfect Wave, anyway, came back to life through his journey into hell and through God intervening and his mom's prayers, mom praying in New Zealand, his home during that time. Anyway, incredible stories here today, again, like we always have. Let's go ahead and lead off with Dr. David Levy. He's talking to a group of people and talking about that we're made in God's image. And, of course, God has the character that he wants us to take on. To take on is the first commandment, is take on my nature and my character, which is the first commandment in the New Testament. Excuse me, not in the New Testament, in the book of Genesis, right in the beginning when God created. He said, take on my image, my nature, okay, to be fruitful and multiply, fill and subdue the earth, and rule over every living creature. So let's listen to what Dr. Levy tells us about this.
Because we're made in the image of God, his words are powerful, and so are yours. I don't know that we truly understand what it is to be made in his image. And when we speak blessing over people and over ourselves, I mean, I get up in the morning, I look, before I comb my hair, I look myself in the mirror and I say, you are beautiful. You are beloved. You are delightful. That's straight out of the Song of Solomon. If you, and I say that, I was speaking in Texas and all the girls said, you can't say that. I said, if you can't say that when you look your worst, then you are believing what the world is saying about you. We will tell you when you're beautiful. We will tell you how to look. We'll tell you what we think of you. And then once we say it, you have to accept our valuation of you. To bless yourself first thing in the morning, you are beautiful. You know, some days I don't feel it. Saying things you don't feel is actually quite powerful. That's the power of declaration. That's why we sing, and we're going to be learning more from John Ashcroft. That's why we sing, because there are things that happen in the brain when we sing that exercises, cultivates, nurtures our faith. And the same thing with declarations. We can use those, and I use them in the morning. And I will sing, and I will bless myself. And sometimes I need to read the Psalms until I believe what I'm reading. So you've got to sometimes, you know, blow on the fire to get it going because we don't always feel it. And we are such feeling-oriented people. We need to, first of all, understand ourselves, understand that we do have some highs and some lows, and have a plan when you get into a low, how you're going to get yourself out of it. Singing is an excellent way. There was a period in my life I would do some dancing. I would never do it in public, but I found that a physical expression with all of your body praising the Lord, and it says, you know, I mean, my name is David, right? I have good authority to dance, and I've stopped that this last season of life, but but there was a time when I could pull myself out of any depression by doing some, what I would call worship dancing, something that, you know, I don't know where I got it, but something that was, I felt honoring to God and expressed my love for him, that moved my body. And no matter how I felt, if I would do that and sort of move in the opposite spirit against what you're feeling, against the negativity, you can overcome that with God's grace.
All right. Thank you. Maybe you know this about Dr. David Levy, but he came back, I think you spent, was it September? The month of September, on one of the Hope ships in Africa. And that is an extremely unselfish but powerful thing to do with, I believe, eternal consequences. Don't you? I really think there are eternal consequences. And day to day, it's probably humdrum and difficult and very hard work, but, and you can't see all of the results.
I just want to do something right here. I just feel like we need to, everyone needs to say, I am beautiful. I want to hear you say that. I am beautiful. Let's say it again. I am beautiful. I bless my complexion. My DNA. I thank God for the way he made me. And for this physical body that's gotten me this far. Amen. Amen.
Again, very brilliant man. We had him here locally, interviewed him with a group of people, and telling his story about people that he's operated on, and he prays for every patient ahead of time. He asked permission, of course, and no one ever turns him down, even though some people were atheists, and they talk about that too, and how his witness changed their lives, and how they turned back to God through his inspiration, through his prayers. And there's credible stories that he told about, but this is just one little clip. We have others that we've used already on the show we'll come back to as well at a different time. But again, God has a plan, again, for us to look beautiful. I love that. I am beautiful. What he's saying is, I am beautiful in God's eyes. If you hear the people that go to heaven and come back, they say how God, how beautiful everything is in heaven, how God greets them with pure love, and how a sense of beauty comes over them and a feeling of beauty. We just thank God that we are created the way we are. He is the creator. He is our source. He is our security. There is no other security. And then when your body has problems, there's a time to pay attention, you know. Diane Erickson is a miracle story. Again, I had a chance to interview, and her husband Dick, again, they have son Tyre, but she went through a miraculous story of healing in the midst of all kind of crisis, because she was given up on the doctors here, went to Washington, D.C. to be an experimental program, drug program, new drug they were coming out with. She's the only one that lived and through that experimental drug. And they called her the miracle lady. Let's listen to some of her story.
Constant chemo. I'd go
so
back.
So for 5 days you did that, and then you could get off for the yeah. 16 days. But then you yep. had to go back on for five at a time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And during that time, when I was taking my chemo, it was amazing. Even though I couldn't sleep very well, I felt good because I was on heavy doses of prednisone. So we would make it kind of fun. We would eat at nice places and...
Yeah, those first 5 days or 7 days of her of the 21-day cycle.
Probably.
And it was kind of interesting. At night, Diane has always been very disciplined about taking her medicines, even during this time. So if she got up at 3 in the morning to take certain pills or something, I would listen to how her feet, how she shuffled her feet. And I could tell the day she was going to come into after a short period. Because if she shuffled and dragged her feet, I knew it was going to be a tough day for her. But if she got up and walked to the bathroom very... You know, no
briskly,
shuffling.
Yeah.
I said, well, she's going to have a good day.
Oh, really? How about that?
Those first 5 days were not too bad, but then I would start going down.
Yeah. Down to the 10th
downhill.
Day.
Right. By the day 10, I was...
Okay.
I didn't talk on the phone. I would get terrible sores in my mouth. It was just...
Her feet, yeah.
I got everywhere, like the neuropathy. And but I just would pray. I gave it to God, and I said, Lord, I would picture him on the cross. I would picture him on his walk to Calvary and all that he went through. I really felt he was so with me. And I thought, if God allows a part of himself, his son, to suffer the way he did, who am I to say? And I would just offer it up for him. I would say, Lord, I'm united with you on the cross. Use whatever I'm going through for good. You know, maybe when we get to heaven, we'll know that our suffering was united with Christ and all the beautiful things that were done through it.
Now, you said that you went through this how long a period of time was it in Washington?
It was from January until June.
Okay. Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial weekend, they told me I was in remission.
Okay. What's happened since?
Okay. I think then with the bone marrow extraction, in 2008, I was having some issues internally, and I knew something was wrong. And every 6 months, they checked me. With CAT scans up at the National Cancer Institute. Well, the first year they check you like every 2 months or 4 months, then it's 6 months, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they found there was a spot in my abdomen area, and I went through all kinds of tests. They thought it was more stomach, esophagus, whatever. Well, in 2008, I had exploratory surgery, and they found a tumor that was on the outside wall of my small intestines with entangling itself around my intestines. Well, it turned out to be a B cell, marginal zone B cell lymphoma, not my T cell. But so I had to have treatment here in Jacksonville for 2 years with Rituxan, which I guess wasn't even around 10 years ago, but that Rituxan wouldn't have worked on my T cell lymphoma. So
it's another drug, but I mean, I guess what I'm trying to get to now,
I'm still fighting. I'm still fighting. I have indolent T cells in my bone marrow. I know about that. But they're indolent, meaning they're lazy. But I'm having issues. I'm not producing enough white blood cells now. I'm very low, which means it's almost like you're neutropenic, but I have other cells that are kind of combating that. But I'm taking a treatment now, gamma globulin, every month, because I was having infections every month for a year. After I stopped my Rituxan. So I'm fighting still.
Okay. Well, that's good, I guess, actually. What about the relationship with the Lord? What about some of the intensity of the prayers that you had then versus how your walk is now, and how do you share this, and what do you...
I'm still intense with my relationship with Christ.
Okay.
It's like, with Christ, he's such a part of me that everything that I am... is his.
Right.
So anybody that
do you witness,
however I share, yes, John, if some, I've had many people that have called me in their fights through friends that I have that know what I went through and will say, Diane, would you mind talking to so and so, or people that I don't even know. So I mean, I don't work with the National Cancer Institute or anything like that to tell my story, but I even think up my research nurse at the Cancer Institute, and they don't really share the other stories of the people. They can't really do that. But I think there were five of us that went through my protocol with my T-cell, and I think I'm the only person that survived this length of time. And so I'm probably their miracle person.
So they refer to her as the miracle lady.
Well, they don't really say that out loud to me, but... I know that Christ was not through with me.
Right.
I know that.
Amen. Well, and I think that's the bottom line of this testimony here. I mean, is that no matter what you go through, and I'm not even sure, no matter always what kind of drug and what kind of doctor and what kind of healing process, that Christ is has to be in the center of it. He is the ultimate healer, you know. And so that's the real power of your testimony, I believe.
That I am still, and I feel good, and I'm still going forward,
yeah,
spreading the good news and
praise God,
trying to yeah grow even closer to Christ.
Yeah, praise God.
I love her story, and she didn't cover it as much as I would have liked, but the story is that when she laid on the bed suffering there in absolute pain and agony, you talk about she's there 6 months in Washington, D.C., taking a drug that nobody else has ever tried before except 4 other people with her. And what's happening is that she lays there and she's on the bed and she stretches her out her arms and she says, Lord, I am with you on the cross. All the sins of the world that you took on, I'm taking on to my body, Lord, as well. I ask you for the forgiveness of my sins. I ask you to bring healing into me. It's like she was there with Christ on the cross. Folks, this is real surrender. This is real back to the song we had yesterday with Oprah Winfrey and Faith Hill talking about I surrender all and the miracle that happened through that and the song that brought such great warmth and feelings and the power of God through them, through that song. But I surrender all. That's what she was doing. Lord, I surrender it all to you. All these other stories. Hey, these rock stars that we had again yesterday, they all surrender it all to Christ. And that totally transformed them. Pete Maravich, David Robinson, all these athletes as well. Businessmen. We're going to share a couple of them here, even though they're toward security. We're talking about security, finding your security. This is John Bean. You're listening to Inspiration 316. The show theme today is finding your security. Again, God has allowed us to have feelings of insecurity and inferiority because we're born without his spirit. He removed it from Adam and Eve when he gave them free will. So we have to come back to God to accept his spirit in us and commit it to him and to ask for forgiveness, and he'll put his spirit into us. And that's what Diane did. She got her spirit implanted into her through the power of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ there on the bed, suffering through this and trying to work through the drugs that she was taking there and the only one to survive. And she still survives today, you know, 10, 15 years later. Tony Nazarella, founder of Murray Hill Theater, is the sponsor of our show today. Again, we're on a nonprofit station called The Truth, and we appreciate any support that people may have for us, but Tony has come through with support to help our show be bigger and better. And I'm on the board of Murray Hill Theater, too, so that's another nice connection. I've been there for probably 10 years. Murray Hill Theater is really a place for kids to come on Thursdays and Friday nights for concerts and really a getaway place. No alcohol, no drugs, but the Spirit of God is there and the witness of God and the rock bands they attempt to bring in are Christian bands. Not all of them are, but nearly all of them. But anyway, let's listen to some of Tony's story here as well as the great event that he's got coming up that we'd love to have you support. Okay, this is John Beaner. I'm here with Tony Nazarella, the founder of Murray Hill Theater. Tony, thanks for being the sponsor of our show today. I know you have a dynamic story to tell about Murray Hill and how it all came together. Can you share some of that with our listeners?
Well, sure. And thanks for having me, John. It's a pleasure to be here. The Murray Hill Theater is what some people call a Christian nightclub. That's not a perfect description, but we are a nightclub that brings in Christian artists and positive bands and faith-based bands, and it is a live music venue that is all ages. It is alcohol-free, drug-free, smoke-free, and again, we only bring in positive bands, and our mission, our vision is to give the youth and the young adults especially, but also adults, an alternative to the nightclub and the bar scene. So we provide a venue that brings in national, even international, regional, and local bands pretty much every Friday and Saturday night. And we give youth and young adults a place to gather and have fun without drugs and alcohol, hearing positive and Christian music. And we are in our 21st year, and it's a nonprofit organization. I'm a volunteer there, and it's been an awesome thing. It's really been cool.
Well, not only a volunteer, obviously you started the whole thing. I think you earlier had a vision from God about a coffee house, right?
Yeah, the idea came from a coffee house that really ministered to me as a young man when I made a commitment to my faith. I was trying to get out of the kind of the heavy drinking, partying scene, and I found a little coffee house that brought in Christian bands, and that ministry really helped me out as a young man. And then I left for college and worked in Chicago for a couple of years, and I came back to Jacksonville, and I felt like God said, you know, that place was really cool, and I always thought somebody ought to do something like that. And I felt like God said, well, I think you ought to do something like that. So it came from a calling from God.
That's right. He was planting seeds on you, and then he's finally saying, it's your job to get it done. I know how that is, but that's exciting. Now, kids get a lot of support there, a lot of love. Counselors, you've got lots of volunteers involved. You organize, you bring these bands from all over the country in, and even local bands, too, you use
local
once in a while.
Local bands, too, yep. And part of our mission is to be involved in what we call relational ministry. So when people come and hear music, we just like to get to know them, get to learn about them, and just we try to let them know that we believe Jesus is alive and real and wants to have a relationship with them. We don't get real pushy or aggressive with that. We just kind of throw it out there and let them know that there is hope in God. And we've had a tremendous impact on a lot of young adults. It's been a very fruitful organization.
Well, it's been a privilege for me to serve on the board for many years. And again, tell us about the new event that's coming up on May 20th.
Well, we are doing a fundraising event for Murray Hill Theater. We are a nonprofit, 501c3. And so on May 20th, it's a Friday night, we're bringing in Tiana Jones. And Tiana Jones is actually from Jacksonville, but she was made famous last year when she came in number 3 on American Idol. And she's a young lady who has a very dynamic voice, very exciting, and just a great artist. So we're pleased that she agreed to be our featured artist for our fundraising concert. We're going to have VIP tickets that will let you in early and get a behind the scenes and inside look at what goes on before a show, and you'll get to meet the artist. And it's going to be a great night on May 20th as a fundraiser for Murray Hill Theater.
Thank you again, Tony. Thanks for being here and being our sponsor for Inspiration 316.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Again, Tony Nazarella. Again, that concert is May 20th. Love to have you attend. There's going to be a VIP session. It's going to be a little more expensive to come, but to get to meet Tiana, even get your picture with her, and learn about there's going to be some prizes there as well as silent auction items. So it's going to be a fun evening. And she's going to do the concert after that, and it's going to be open to everybody. And, again, you can go to murrayhilltheater.org. Just Google it. You'll find it. There's plenty of content up there about Murray Hill. They've probably got 7,000 or 8,000 kids on their mailing list, email list. Again, this is John Beaner. You've been listening to the Inspiration 316, again, sponsored by Murray Hill Theater. And we're talking about finding your security. We had a story about Dr. David Lee, and neurosurgeon, get that right, out of San Diego that we had here not long ago, interviewed him, and there's some of the testimony he gives about that you are beautiful, more beautiful than you, because the enemy is telling you you are ugly and you're overweight or you're too skinny or you're too small, you're too stupid or you're too smart or you're too whatever, okay? That is the bad radio station playing in everybody's head, whether you know it or not. Then we talked with Diane Erickson about overcoming the cancer bout that she had, and it's been like 15 years since then. She surrendered it all to Christ, like being on the cross, on her bed, taking these experimental drugs. She was the only one to live, because it's a spiritual encounter, folk. If your spirit is right, it'll bring healing to your body. And God is a spirit of love, truth, and light, and his spirit is ready to flow into us deeper and deeper if we just ask him and we seek him out. And God, the second half of our show, because we're going to take a break here in a little bit, but we've got Jared Powers, who went to prison for 7 or 8 years and got transformed through that experience. He was adopted, never loved by his parents. Then we have Henry Crowell, founded a little company called Quaker Oats, and the problem that he went through as a young man, tuberculosis and going out west, and how God used him with a vision. And then Steve Jobs talking about how he took risk. Again, he found security in his behavior. He's moving out. And then Ian McCormick's going to talk about how he came back to Christ, dying in a surfing, or actually killed by jellyfish. Miracle story, a miracle story. We'll be back soon. This is John Beaner, Inspiration 316. We're heading out of here with a short break. I Need a Miracle with Third Day.
There's a crash on the west side on the West Beltway, 295, the northbound ramp from Wilson Boulevard. Also, a multi-vehicle crash in St. Johns County on I-95, southbound just beyond the International Golf Parkway. And major slowdowns because of an accident on Bay Meadows Road westbound at the 295 Beltway that's blocking the left turn lane. A chance of widely scattered showers and thunderstorms through this evening, low 75. Saturday, partly sunny, high 90.
Thank you for listening to WTRJ The Truth and the inspiring and informative programs we feature. We partner with ministries in this community, nationally, and even globally, to bring you the programs you hear. The program content is produced by these ministry partners and does not necessarily reflect the positions or views of other ministry partners, WTRJ The Truth owners, management, or employees in every instance. We trust that you're blessed by the programs you hear, and thanks for listening to WTRJ The Truth.
Well, welcome back. This is John Bean. You're listening to Inspiration 316. We're coming back here with Third Day, I Need a Miracle.
Well, late one night she started to cry and thought he ain't coming home. She was tired of the lies, tired of the fight, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was young, but Lord above, I need a miracle. Well, no matter who you are and no matter what you've done, there will come a time when you can make it on your own. And in your hour of desperation, know you're not the only one. Pray, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Okay, that's Third Day, I Need a Miracle. We had a fabulous show yesterday with them and telling some of the story behind that and how a young man almost killed himself in a car, but he heard that song, and it totally rocked his world, and he gave his life to Christ right in that car before he killed himself. And they were telling the story on the stage at a concert, and people were going wild. Anyway, we're about finding your security. That's the theme of today's show, and Jared Powers is a famous young man here in our city. And again, he unfortunately raised upstate New York, actually was adopted by his father and mother and never felt loved by them. His father was in the military, so always put him down, told him he wasn't going to amount to anything. He was no good. You know, all those sweet comments that impregnate your mind with junk and garbage, worldly stuff that, again, doesn't help anybody. But so, you know, at 13 years old, his father locked him up in a mental institution, tried to get rid of him, you know, either get rid of him or straighten him out, you know, one way or the other. And he went through two experiences like that till he finally went down to left and went to South Florida and got caught up in drugs, alcohol, shot somebody. Incredible story. We'll take as far as we can in this story, but inspiring in the end. Listen in.
I was lashing out. I was rebelling. So at the age of 13, my father actually had me locked up. He was getting ready to retire, and rather than have his pension threatened, they just kind of, you know, I was
put you aside then?
Yeah. So I was locked up at the age of 13.
Well, now that was an actual jail then, or where was you? Where were you?
No, actually, it was a psychiatric hospital.
Okay.
Because what happened was they have a school, but because basically they wanted to hide me.
Oh, okay.
Get and rid
of you. Yeah.
So that's where that went, and it was a full-blown. I mean, you're talking Thorazine, straight jackets, the whole thing. And at that point, when my father left me there at that place, something happened in my heart. My heart changed. If you thought I had abandonment issues before then, well, when the door clangs behind you, and you walk in and you smell that sterile atmosphere, and you realize I'm alone. Now there's a scripture that I didn't learn until years later in my life, but today I cling to it. It's a Psalms 37, I think, or 37:27. He says, when my mother and my father forsake me, then will you take up my cause.
Wow.
Now at that point, when you're in there, and there were a lot of kids whose parents, I mean, there were kids.
In the psychiatric ward.
In the psychiatric ward. One young man, Billy was his name, he had picked up some dynamite, thought it was a candle in his dad's garage, and it blew off his arm. He had one nub like this. He was 13 as well. And his whole face, he was scarred. Well, he had some issues. He couldn't, you know, people would pick on him. Remember we talked about going from right. having fun to cutting? And he would fight. And another young kid, Lorenzo, he was burned up in a fire and he was in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these kids just, I don't, at that age, I didn't really ask them. But I could relate, because when I first walked in there, I looked and I said, "What? How do I fit here? How do I fit in here?" Mm-hmm. You know? And so through the time that I was in there, I was only supposed to be there 60 days. They kept me 8 months.
Wow.
And so, I started reading the psychology books and started thinking, well, let me find out what's wrong with me. Let me tell you what. The answer is not in psychology. So that's how I started.
Okay. Well, so you were there 8 months. So what happened after the 8 months then?
Well, after the 8 months, they had to let me out. My dad wasn't ready to have me come home. So they sent me to LaSalle Reform School, which is the last place that you go before you go to a penitentiary. Up there, they call them penitentiaries. And I was only 14.
Now, we didn't talk where this is. This is upstate New York, right?
Yeah, this is in upstate New York.
Okay.
From there, I went to LaSalle, and from there, it's a Catholic reform school. And let me tell you something. I didn't know anything about God before that time, mm-hmm. but I didn't see God in this reform school, mm-hmm. in this Catholic, mm-hmm. you know.
Why? Yeah.
I mean, it's not, it was just a totally...
Very disciplined.
Now, all of a sudden, I said that God isn't the answer. Mm-hmm. Because I saw what was around me, the brothers and all of that. And at that point, I said, God's not the answer either. And so my heart just a little bit more.
Tightened closed. Up, became more bitter, more resentful.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And from there, I started, I would run. I would run from the place. I would run. And they say, you know what? If you leave this place, you're going to end up going to prison. And I said, when you don't have anything and all you have is yourself, and the things each experience would draw you to the point where if all I have is myself, if it's just me against the world, then why, there's no bounds. So I'd run, and eventually I ended up stealing a bunch of cars, running. I'd just run, and then I got caught.
So you escaped there then, I guess? Or?
Yeah, well, it was you could walk away.
Oh, you could walk away, okay.
But the penalty was if you go here, it's going to get worse.
Okay.
So from there, I ended up in Tryon. Has anybody heard of Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
Well, Mike Tyson learned to fight in upstate New York, and he was actually locked up in Tryon in the same place in Tryon, New York. And so you want to know where I learned to fight? No, really, you do. When you're locked up, you learn to fight. Because they prey on you. It's just a whole different thing. So in Tryon, you're not in straitjackets anymore, and you're not in takedowns, Thorazine. In Tryon, this is where you're going to spend the rest of your life if you don't straighten up.
Hmm. Amazing story. Again, he ends up escaping there, go ahead and down to South Florida. I think I mentioned it before. He got involved in drugs, eventually shot a guy in the head trying to escape or collect money from a drug sale, and then he gets arrested, and a man introduces him to Christ in jail. And so he ends up spending the next 6 years in prison, sentenced to go to prison, and actually for like 14, 15. The guy did not die who he shot, anyway, he gets out early, but he said prison was the best time of his life because he had the Word of God, and the Word of God filled him. The Word of God became his security. He felt abandoned before, rejected, you know, put down. And here, God, he felt the love of God. The Holy Spirit came in. He made a commitment to Christ. He asked for forgiveness of sins, and God can forgive anyone, right? Anyone. The biggest murderer. God can forgive because he is the creator. He is the one that holds the secret to the kingdom of God. And so He knows the troubles we're going through. He knows what Satan's doing around the world to take it down and lead people to suicide. That's Satan's greatest joy, is to have people commit suicide, because that not only defames them, but defames their family, defames everyone around them. And it's a sad situation. But God has a plan through all this. And so Jared came back. He got out of prison in 6 years, and a guy, he started mowing yards for a guy, and the guy, after a year, said to Jared, "You're such a good hard worker. I like you. I appreciate you. I'm going into the ministry. Here's the business, by the way. I'm selling it to you. And you just have to pick up the same jobs we've been doing, and you'll be able to buy it out over time." And that's what he did for the next 7 or 8 years. He did that. Had a very successful landscaping business, a lot of big jobs. But God got deeper and deeper into his heart, and so now he runs, is very involved in prison fellowship, people coming out of prison, Freedom in Christ, I think the name of that ministry is. And so he is, he's a real man of God and an inspiration to be around, because the things he's been through has been hell on earth, right? Can't imagine doing all of that, but thank God for my parents. Thank God for coming to Christ like I did and learning an easier way than he had to go through. Anyway, thank you for Jared Powers and his sharing his testimony. There's a young man back in the early 1900s, late 1800s, by the name of Henry Crowell, and his father got tuberculosis at 45 years old, I think he was, in Cleveland, Ohio, and he died. And the doctor said, "You know, Henry, you are threatened by the soot in the air and the steel factories in Cleveland as well. And there's a good chance we could tell by looking at your lungs and the tests that we've done that you've already got the beginnings of tuberculosis in your lungs. And the only way we know this is at this time is to help clean out your lungs, is to go get into an area where the air is much cleaner, and there is not the particles in the airs of the combat that you have to do by dealing with tuberculosis." So they said, "You need to go out west." And at this time, he's like 18, 19 years old, and he had been accepted into Yale, and he was so excited to go. And his mom said, "You're just not going to be able to go. You know, your dad is dead. It's take the chance to go out west." So he went out west, kind of roamed his way out there and got different odd jobs, working on farms, working in different places. Even started a couple little businesses out there over the 7 years. All the time, he grew closer to God and sought God and said, "God, when I come back, you know, after my 7 year journey, I want to start a business, and I promise I won't put my name on it." And, anyway, Henry Crowell came back, and we're going to tell the story here. It's been recorded, part of our series called Genesis, the Business Workshop, testimonies, again, of businessmen and what God's done in their life and how they've impacted America. Listen to Henry Crowell's story.
Henry P. Crowell had 7 years of preparation to reach what he called good soil. It was in the early 1900s when his father died of tuberculosis. The doctors warned Henry, who was just in his 20s, "There's a good chance you're going to get the same disease unless you leave town. Because of the smog and the soot that was in the air from the steel mills, the best cure, they said, would be to leave Cleveland, to go west, and to live outdoors for 7 years." It was very tough on Henry because he had just had an opportunity to attend Yale University, and he knew the biblical significance of going outdoors and living for 7 years as the doctors prescribed. But through the valleys of Henry's life, his passion became a deep and heartfelt desire to serve the Lord. So he considered his journey out west as a divine appointment. Friends and family prayed for him and sought for him to breathe normally through those years of frustration away from his family. But he took odd jobs on farms and ranches, and he even gained experience in business by buying and selling 2 farms in North Dakota. He prayed often and pledged that if the Lord would just allow him to own his own business enterprise, he would not put his name on it. Finally, when he returned home, Henry prayed for the right kind of business to come along. He searched and looked everywhere, and within 30 days, he was offered an opportunity to buy an old mill near Akron, Ohio. Adversity had really prepared him and chiseled his character through those hard, beaten-down paths and rocky and thorny soils of his life, particularly out west. He felt the confirmation of the Lord to actually buy the old mill. Little did he know that the mill would become a giant, known today as the Quaker Oats Company.
Amazing guy. You know, he went on to build a whole nother business in manufacturing. I think it was refrigerators at the time. Relocated to Chicago, their business, and ended up also becoming the president of the Moody Foundation Bible Institute there in, I don't know if it's in Chicago, but it's certainly in the Midwest there. I think it is still around today. They even produce radio shows as well. I think it may be a seminary as well. The point of it all is that he became very active, and in the latter part of his life, he gave away 90% of his income to Christian causes, and really was a great example for businessmen all around the country as about trusting God in your business, in your environment. God was his security. That's what he needed, his security. He trusted God to be his security. He's trusted God to help him overcome any feelings of insecurity, things that he was, again, born with as a human being. Here's another gentleman most people have heard of, a guy named Steve Jobs, tells a story about what happened to him when he was 12 years old and needing a frequency counter.
Now, I've actually always found something to be very true, which is most people don't get those experiences because they never ask. I've never found anybody that didn't want to help me if I asked them for help. I always call them up. I called up, this will date me, but I called up Bill Hewlett when I was 12 years old, and he lived in Palo Alto. His number was still in the phone book, and he answered the phone himself. He said, yes? He said, hi, I'm Steve Jobs. I'm 12 years old. I'm a student in high school, and I want to build a frequency counter, and I was wondering if you had any spare parts I could have. And he laughed, and he gave me the spare parts to build his frequency counter, and he gave me a job that summer in Hewlett-Packard working on the assembly line, putting nuts and bolts together on frequency counters. He got me a job in the place that built them, and I was in heaven. And I've never found anyone who said no or hung up the phone when I called. I just asked. And when people ask me, I try to be as responsive, you know, to pay that debt of gratitude back. Most people never pick up the phone and call. Most people never ask. And that's what separates sometimes the people that do things from the people that just dream about them. You gotta act. And you've got to be willing to fail. You've got to be willing to crash and burn, you know, with people on the phone, with starting a company, with whatever. If you're afraid of failing, you won't get very far.
Steve Jobs, we're not trying to say that he was a Christian. Don't know that. You know, he may have surrendered to God before his final days, but the point of it all is that God is using all kinds of people to bring this world together, to bring this world to make it a better place. He needs people who are employers. And the point is that Steve found some of his security, believe it or not, in taking risk. This is part of what the Bible says. You know, I talked about it earlier, you know, be fruitful and multiply, fill and subdue the earth. God gave us laws and principles to take risk, you know, to step out of the box. And if you go back to, and we've shared this before, but a book that I authored along with Brig Hart called The Untold Secret That Creates True Wealth. And Christ said the secret, believe it or not, the secret to the kingdom of God. This is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, a whole parable discussed by Jesus and written by the three authors, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they all said basically the same kind of thing. Jesus said the secret to the kingdom is found in the parable of the sower. And the point is that God is planting seeds in, which is the unctions and leadings of God. Those are seeds. The word of God is our seeds, and they're planted in our soul. Our soul is our mind, intellect, personality, will, and emotion. But at the same time, it's the soil of us. In other words, it's our inner roots. It's where we grow things out of, you know, out of our soul. And so what happens is that as the seed gets planted, you know, a lot of people say, oh, that's a great idea, but I can't do anything about it because they're in the beaten down path. Their soul's beaten down by negative thinking. Poor, you know, Jared Powers, you know, beaten up verbally by his parents and the struggle that he had to go through that. But then there's rocky soil. The seed falls on rocky soil, thorny soil, and then eventually good soil. God is preparing us to take risks, to go out there. Security is found in actually taking risks because you become more useful. You become more fruitful in trying to move something forward to in an organization or in a family or in a relationship between a man and a woman. God wants us to move forward. All right, we got a rush here. Ian McCormick, he's a guy that was in the movie The Perfect Wave. The whole story is about his life out of New Zealand. His mother prayed for him as he took off around the world. He got stung by 5 jellyfish, somehow got to the hospital, died in the hospital, struggling with God, committing to God on the way. Didn't even believe in God before that, but remember his mother's prayers, and his mother was praying for him. He's in hell right now as we pick it up and hear what happens to him.
It is the most scary and the most frightening and the most terrifying place I've ever been in. And I have no, even the worst enemy, I'd never wish or hope that they went to hell. Because if they knew where they were going, they would never, ever, ever want to go there. And I was realized I was there. And I had no idea, how do you ever get out of hell? But I'd already prayed. And I was kind of wondering why on earth I'd gone there. Because I'd prayed just before I died. Said, God, forgive me of my sins. And as I'm crying, I literally cried out to God saying, God, why am I here? I've asked you forgiveness. Why am I here? I've turned my heart to you. Why am I here? And a brilliant light shone upon me and literally drew me out of the darkness. The Bible says that light has shone into darkness. Those walking in the shadow of death and darkness, a great light has shone upon them and guided their feet into the paths of peace and righteousness. That those walking in darkness have seen a great light. And I saw this incredible light, and I was literally taken up into the presence of this light, just drawn up. And I was so happy in my heart that I was leaving this pit of darkness. But the only way I could leave is because I'd repented before I died. You can't repent when you get down there. You can only repent before you die. You can't pray your way out of heaven, out of hell, and no one on earth can pray you out of hell. No one. No one. You have to have prayed yourself. The Bible teaches that. No one can pray for dead departed souls and get them out of hell if they had never repented. They have had to have repented. I say that because I believe that what God wanted me to share that. I went up into what looked like an opening or a passageway, a narrow passageway. Narrow is the road that leads to the kingdom of God. Few are those who find it. Many find the broad road that leads to destruction. And I found a narrow passageway that led through. I was taken up into that, and I looked to the end of that passageway or tunnel, and I could see the source of the universe. It looked literally like the source of all power, of all light, the center of the universe, more brilliant than the sun, more radiant than any jewel, any diamond, even more radiant and more incredible than a laser beam light. Incredible intensity. And yet you could look right into it. And as I looked, I was drawn, and literally like drawn like a moth into the presence of a fire, literally just drawn into that light. And as I was drawn towards that light, waves of light started coming off, emanating off this source. And the first wave that hit me was total comfort and warmth. And I got a sigh of relief in my spirit. Came closer down the tunnel, and a wave of intense light seemed to come up the tunnel towards me, hit me. Total peace from head to toe. And I at school had read poetry from Keats to Shakespeare to you name it, to try and get peace of mind. I had tried alcohol, I had tried education, I had tried sport, I had tried relationships with women, I had tried drugs, I tried everything to find peace in my life, and I'd never found it. If I had it, it was glimpses, fleeting seconds or fleeting minutes, sometimes fleeting hours if you're really lucky, of peace. and contentment. And yet I had total and complete peace. And in my heart I went, this is incredible. This light, this pure white light, has got emotion coming off. I can feel peace. I can feel it. And I got, as I was getting closer, I went, I'm in the light. I wonder what I look like. I couldn't even see my body down there in the darkness. Maybe I can see what I look like. So I looked, and I saw an arm of light. it was freaky, tell you the truth, but it was the same light that was coming off the source down there. I was literally a form of light. I looked back, drawn closer into the light, and a wave of joy. Who knows what it is to be joyful? I had incredible joy well up within me, and excitement. Who gets excited? No. I was excited. Wherever I'm going, this is fantastic. My mind couldn't even conceive where I was going, and my words can't even communicate what I saw, I'm telling you. I can see it as I'm sharing it, but I don't know how I can communicate with you. Came out of the end of the tunnel and seemed to be standing upright before literally the source of all light and power. And my whole of my eyesight was taken up with this incredible light. Thoughts that came to my mind were aura. Okay? I wasn't a Christian at that point, you know. And the next one that came was glory. This is just glorious. You know, they have pictures of Jesus with a little wee tiny halo.
Okay, that's Ian McCormick again talking about his life and death experience. Died, actually, jellyfish stung, you know, his wife, his mom, brother in New Zealand praying for him. And God pulls him out of the hell experience that he's in. And miraculous story. He's a pastor in England right now, 20, 30 years later, tells his story, one of the most powerful stories I've ever heard. He's on the internet. There's a whole hour worth of stuff talking about what he learned in heaven through Christ. And it's an amazing story. Again, this show's all been finding your security. We've been doing the best we can with that subject, helping you be inspired by the Word of God and the experiences of other people. Again, this is John Beaner. This is Inspiration 316. We're on 91.7 The Truth, 4 to 5 p.m. during the weekdays. Thanks for joining us. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Inspiration 316 show with John Beaner. Join us each weekday at the same time. If you want to share your testimony, listen to past shows, or get a free book, visit us at our website, www.inspiration316.com.
Thank you for joining us for Inspiration 316 and John Beaner. Coming up next, it's First Baptist Church of downtown Jacksonville here on listener-supported WTRJ, The Truth. Thank you for listening to WTRJ The Truth and the inspiring and informative programs we feature. We partner with ministries in this community, nationally, and even globally, to bring you the programs you hear. The program content is produced by these ministry partners and does not necessarily reflect the positions or views of other ministry partners, WTRJ The Truth owners, management, or employees in every instance. We trust that you're blessed by the programs you hear. And thanks for listening to WTRJ The Truth.
WTRJ Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL St. Augustine. WATY Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump says it was unfair for someone claiming to be a senior administration official to anonymously write a New York Times editorial criticizing him because there's no way to discredit those facts. The president says the source could be a Democrat who's still in the administration as a holdover from the previous administration, a member of the so-called deep state. Hiring picked up in the month of August as U.S. employers added a strong 201,000 jobs. It's seen by many analysts as a sign of confidence that consumers and businesses will keep spending, even though there are a few concerns floating around concerning the president's possible trade war with some U.S. trading partners. The unemployment rate held steady at 3.9%. Florence could cause life-threatening surf and rip currents along parts of the U.S. East Coast this weekend as the storm swirls across the Atlantic. Winds this morning about 65 miles an hour. More details at srnnews.com.
An accident on the West Beltway 2.